You are listening to a special edition podcast for The Amazing Spider-Man. Welcome to a very special edition of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Now, normally, week to week, we bring you the up-to-date news of Marvel Comics or Marvel Studios or Marvel Animation, whatever the case Marvel may be, we talk about it. But this year happens to be a little different because this year is the 50th anniversary of Spider-Man. Clap, 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 clap.
Yay!
You know, the flagship character of Marvel. Obviously, we talked about the 50th anniversary issue. Too much my disdain and probably most of our disdain except for Arnold's. We talked about that, but we wanted to do our own personal show, or at least I did, I'm not gonna lie. I wanted to do our own personal show dedicated to the, everyone's favorite wall crawler, Peter Parker, aka the amazing, friendly neighbor, sensational Spider-Man. He's been around for over 50 years now. I don't know if that's supposed to make Taser or somebody else out there who's listening feel really, really old. But whether we want to admit it or not, Spider-Man has been the character for somebody through some point in some time in their lives. Everybody has read a Spider-Man comic at one point, or if not, they've played a Spider-Man game, Spider-Man t-shirt, Spider-Man everything. Spider-Man's been everywhere. So what we want to do here basically is just profess either our love or some of the moments we liked for Spider-Man or some of the things we effing hated. You know, through 50 years, especially through part of the 90s, there was some awful shit going on. But let's digress. Arnold, what was the thing when you first saw Spider-Man all those years ago in the suburbs of New York City? I don't even know if that's true what I'm saying right now.
The suburbs of New York City?
I don't, again, like, when you first saw Spider-Man, what was it that drew you to the wall crawler?
I collected comics a lot. Well, no, I got comics a lot when I was a little kid, but that was before, you know, you really know what comics were and how you're supposed to... ended up in the trash because you treated them like shit and mom got tired of seeing them. But I started collecting comics when I was about 15 or 16, so this was shortly after the 90s cartoon of The Amazing Spider-Man. So that's kind of where it started for me, and then jumping into the comics, I grabbed that because Peter Parker, like most people age and reading Peter Parker, the connection to the kind of outcast kid. You're smart, but you don't have that many friends, you're kind of awkward or whatever it may be, you gravitate towards that kind of person because that's the way Peter Parker was in that book. But at the same time, he had this whole other persona that was cool and awesome. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's the usual stuff, but it's not bad that it's the usual stuff. It's just the whole outcast side of things. You felt that connection, and his stories are always fun and interesting to me, and I like his array of characters and villains, especially Doc Ock was also another particular favorite of mine. I just always liked him as a villain, so he was the other reason I started picking up Amazing Spider-Man, because I wanted to read more stories with Dr. Octopus.
Taser, what about you? You've obviously been seeing Spider-Man a lot longer than all of us. What about you that you to the Royal Caller in some kind of way?
Web swinging. Sorry, was eating a double whopper with cheese.
They have Burger Kings?
Web swinging? Yes, they have Burger Kings.
Where do you think we live?
There's certain, I've learned there's some places here that are not everywhere. I'm learning that surely.
Yeah, we don't have a Cracker Barrel. I wish we had a Cracker Barrel.
You would have to go off
on the I'm gonna take a picture of me at a Cracker Barrel and then text it to you, like, look where I'm at.
You suck. Shoot. But anyway, when I was a kid, I didn't start collecting until I was about 10. So we're looking at like 1981. But at that point, I'd known of Spider-Man. You know, I'd seen a few comics, didn't really read them. But you know, you had that live action TV show in the 70s. I'd seen the 60s program when it got syndicated on, I think it was Channel 5. Then of course it was Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Actually, it was The Amazing Spider-Man. That first season was just Spider-Man. So, when I actually got into Hero Comics, the big thing with me with Spider-Man, sticking to walls and web swinging. I mean, that's just awesomeness, you know? Chew! Name a kid who imitates Spider-Man who doesn't go for a web swing. You know, just do that whole hand movement. You know, nobody thinks of the spider sense or, you know, strong, you know, stronger than can pick up a car. None of that other crap. Web swinging. That's the shit right there. You know, they got away from Batman doing that from roof to roof with, you know, Robin and as they patrol, you know, swinging. But thank God we still have the Amazing Spider-Man. Thank you. Thank you, Stan Lee. And thank you, was it Kirby?
Steve Ditko.
Thank you, Ditko. Thank you, Ditko and Lee. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
B-Rye, what about you? What about you that draws you to the wall crawler known as Spider-Man?
Oh, I'm actually a part of this. I thought I said I didn't want to be a part of the show.
You've read Spider-Man, though. You obviously
not extensively. Sure. I mean, I read some of his stuff, but well, I'm not like you guys.
What do you like about Spider-Man? You tool.
Whoa, that entice one. How can I resist speaking up? I don't know. He's an everyman, I guess. I mean, a little more mopey than the average everyman, but an everyman nonetheless. You know, Marvel has always made a point of making their characters relatable, and Spider-Man is probably one of the most relatable characters in their whole little collection.
How?
I don't know. I'm just pulling this out of my ass right now. So why don't you just step back and let me talk? Anyway.
Really relatable to the fact that, at least to the teenage set of not having money, girl problems, that sort of thing. Maybe not now, he's not as relatable to some audiences. Maybe he is, depending on what person you talk to. But I think back then, it was about, you know, like the X-Men were the outcast. The nerdy outcast, actually.
I guess. I never really related to Spider-Man on any level myself, just because it wasn't that I didn't appreciate the character. It's just I didn't really like him. I mean, he always... I know that sounds kind of bad, but he always seemed like... He always just... He never shut the hell up, which, first of all, really pissed me off.
See, and, but that's weird for a guy... Like Deadpool.
That's what I was gonna say.
Hypocrite! Hypocrite!
But Deadpool makes it entertaining. Spider-Man just
talks for three people.
But the thing is, Spider-Man's a tool. Though, you see, Deadpool, he makes it entertaining at least. You know, I can sit there and I can read his stuff, but Spider-Man, I don't know, but for whatever reason, it just never hooked me. But like I said, it's not to say I don't appreciate the character. I mean, the Spider-Man movies, I think, back when Tobey Maguire started, those were the first exposure I ever got to superhero movies in general. So that was definitely a big part of, you know, just me learning, hey, they can make half-decent movies with comic book characters. So I guess I owe Spider-Man that, I guess. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm some kind of Spider-Man super fan, okay? I'm not. I'm
guys,
just,
help
you know.
Me booing this guy. Boo.
Boo. Boo.
Boom. You all suck. Suck my dick.
Tom Brady sucks.
You know what, Taser? Fuck you,
you
all
mad,
right?
Bro? Are I you bet mad, you're liking... Bro?
Hey, you know what else I enjoyed? I enjoyed watching Derek Jeter limp off that field, huh? Did you enjoy
that?
That's
fine. Hey, you know what else I enjoyed? I enjoyed the fact that the Yankees got to the playoffs.
Go cry in your corner, Brian. All right, so...
I'm not crying,
now
bitch.
That we got the negative Nancy out of here...
You're the one who brought me... Oh, for fuck's sake.
We love doing this to him all the time. So, okay. What are some of our, I guess, some of the Spider-Man comics, storylines that we remember that have stuck with us?
Shit, Bruno! Oh, God. No. Sorry.
I don't even know what that...
I just finished Wolverine and the X-Men.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is called unprofessionalism. You'll see this on the show right below this, right above this one. Anyways. Taser, is there any Spider-Man story that sticks out that you remember liking a lot because it was about Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm. And give me a second.
Arnold, we'll come back to you in a minute, Taser. Arnold, what about you?
There are a couple. Obviously, we've got the staples like Death of Gwen Stacy and
Craven's Hunt
and stuff. The Ultimate line was also really good. I know we haven't jumped into there yet, but it's all inclusive Spider-Man. So, you know, the Ultimate line, that was also where the Spider-Man really started for me. because I went to that book a little bit more because by the time I started collecting comic books, issue number one had really just come out of that book. So as I was still picking up Amazing Spider-Man and kind of jump into the story and grasp what I could from what I already knew, I also had this other universe of sorts where I knew it would be a little bit different, but it was still starting fresh from number one, so I didn't need any extra backstory. I could just jump in head first, and that had some great stories, even up to when its final conclusion with the death of Peter Parker in that series. So I definitely liked some of the stuff in there. Their clone saga, I know you hate clones, Iggy, but, and I know it's not saying much for the 90s clone saga, but the ultimate one.
It was better than that one, but it's
pretty damn good. I know it's not a lot to beat, but it's actually quite a good read the way that it was done. It was
not very high expectations to go from that.
Right, but, Bendis at least in the ultimate universe, you know, got that character. Or, develop that character for that universe in a really good way. And just his core group of people that he associated with and hung out with in that book, you know, it was a good time. So I liked a lot of the Ultimate stories. But in 616, let's see. I know people give it a lot of shit, and I know overall it wasn't great, but there were large chunks of the other storyline that I actually enjoyed. As a whole, it probably doesn't hold up well, but I liked a lot of parts of that. You know, we Peter Parker got and then proceeded to lose a great, you know, development in his powers. Aside from the fact that it came from doing something stupid, you know, when they gave him the organic web shooters because of the movie, I was annoyed at that. But then after it settled in, and I was okay with that when he in that storyline. When he shot webbing, he could now feel things moving along it. I was like, okay, see, that's a natural progression of Spider-Man. I like parts of that. Could do without the pincers, even though I know Kane has them. But that story, I enjoyed. I can go on and on. I'll give you guys a chance for some other.
Personally for me, and this is going to, like, well, I have stated I own every single Amazing Spider-Man issue since January of 93, partially due to my dad. But when I really started paying attention to the run, at least, like, not at least liking the stories more, is when the very controversial JMS took over the title, and I want to say right around the same time Ultimate Spider-Man started, either 2000 or 2001. Yeah, and basically him saying that Peter, who was the spider radioactive, or was it the radiation that killed the spider, and was the spider always gonna give Peter Parker the powers no matter what?
Right.
And sort of that. Adding that, whoa, wait a minute, you didn't think you could see this, that story from that perspective, and just to sort of, like, a lot of people complain, you know, about the adult Peter Parker, but, like, that to me, what JMS did, adult-minded, as if, you know, it wasn't necessarily about the classic tropes of fighting the ex-supervillains, or Aunt May needs her medicine. He was on his own, he was separated from MJ. And I really liked this whole run, and just the bringing the different villains. It wasn't the same old again. It was trying something new, which apparently a lot of people hated.
That era was when we got that Spider-Man the Thousand storyline, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
I think Fearless reviewed that or brought that up. Brian, I think he mentioned that book. If he's still around.
I don't think he's here. Here.
I'm just ignoring you all.
Oh, well, I'm
talking like for something, like, to me, I'll say the Spider-Man fans, like, hardcore Spider-Man fans, even though I'm a hardcore Spider-Man fan, don't like it, but I really liked it because it was something different with a favorite character of mine. There's nothing wrong with doing something different every now and then. Eventually reverted everything back. I think one of my favorites is still Kraven's Last Hunt.
Yes.
Considering spoilers, most of the time, Spider-Man is underneath the ground. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how he gets there. But just the psychological fuck-ups that Kraven puts him through and the things that are going through Spider-Man's head. Because this is, I believe, after they got married, MJ and him. It was either before or after. And he's wearing the black suit, but it's not the symbiote. Black Cat had made him a costume of it. And of course, but I think out of all of them, then my favorite is the entire Venom storyline. the entire Sybil storyline, that not necessarily Todd McFarlane drew all of it, but, you know, him coming from Battleworld, from that crossover that Marvel did in the
Secret 80s.
Secret Wars, him getting a new costume, and just the change in behavior and how crazy the storyline is, and then of course the eventual introduction of Venom and just the sort of creepiness that this guy knows everything about Peter Parker and he can just show up and like, I can kill you if I want to, but I'm just gonna toy with you. I'm gonna, you know. This is just the general creepiness that the original Eddie Brock did. Eddie Brock brought to this book. Try saying that three times fast. So yeah, if you've always, I would read those stories, and they still hold up, and just from how Venom approaches, and just how legitimately scary he is when he first shows up. But yeah, that to me is my favorite sort of Spider-Man, storyline, even though he's come back several times. Taser, what about you?
Okay, now that I'm no longer feeding my face, I have to go with Spectacular Spider-Man, the Matius's run, both the Child Within and the Death of Vermin storylines. Because, you know, as much as people like to, you know, like yourself, you know, talk about how, Venom, you know, he could fuck with him and, you know, it was personal and yada, yada, yada. He had Harry Osborn twisting Peter on a string through an organ grinder in a bucket of acid. You know, there's just so much shit that happened to both Peter and Harry in during his run that at the time, this was one of the books that we're talking, what, 1991. This was one of those books that one of my must reads, you know, and, you know, they introduced Dr. Kafka, and even though, okay, yeah, female psychologist for like special super people. Yeah, alright, whatever. But she actually became a very interesting character, you know, such as they used her. And then, you know, with the whole death of vermin, they brought in Zemo into it, and they talked about, you know, the experiments done on him by Arnim Zola and whatever the fuck. Because it's vermin, it goes all the way back to Captain America, because that's where he first shows up, you know? And then come to find out that he's actually a multiracial character. You know, it's like, holy shit, Venom, vermin was black. Ha-ha, didn't see that coming. It was really something. And, you know, that whole storyline ends up concluding, you know, we get to Spectacular 200, you know, where Harry died, and everything is just frantic at that. Harry was out of his freaking gourd, you know, and he's like, I have to take care of you. I have to do this because don't you see? I can't carry this weight anymore. Harry was really way past the edge of his wits, way past it, and To see how his whatever was affecting his family before he went and abandoned them. Like his kid, Normie? Oh my god. To watch the little background stuff and see, you know, his little, I don't know, the kid might have been like 5, and you see, crush the spider, kill the spider, bend the spider's back. You know, he's got this doll of Spider-Man, and he's there, like, you know, trying to turn it into Stretch Armstrong, you know, and it was just a mego character. I'm like, oh wow, this kid is going to be. And sure enough, later on, unfortunately, I'm blanking on it, but there was some mess that the kid ends up getting mixed in long after his father's dead, but involving his father, that the man, because the Multiman was actually his brother-in-law.
Yep.
And Spider-Man, you know, rescue him, but Normie hears something the wrong way, and this look on his face that to this day I will never forget. It's when he's death stares. You know, if you can, if you remember Sal Buscema art, you know that he had a knack for making like a rage, you know, bringing in people's faces. And this like murder death that would come on his face whenever Spider-Man was, you know, what had gone on was just, oh fuck, I'm, holy shit. And you know, and this kid was fine, you know, he was the super villain waiting to happen. As soon as I get old enough, I'm finding me some Goblin formula, and I'm taking out the Spider. And I think he had a clue as to who the Spider was, you know, because of all the weird shit going on. It was just, you want to talk about roller coasters? Harry and Peter went through a humongous roller coaster that nobody talks about. You know, everybody talks about Venom, you know, and everybody talks about Norman Osborn. But the shit that Harry and Peter went through before Harry's death, yeah, that's stuff that needs to be collected, if you ask me. They need to collect The Child Within and The Death of Venom and put them together. Include Spectacular 200, because that caps it off. Actually, include 200 and then include, what was that? 386, 389, where, Amazing Spider-Man 389, whatever, where, he goes after Chameleon for the whole My Parents Are Androids bit and kicks the crap out of Chameleon. And he, you know, says, hey, just go look at that way, don't beat anymore, you're the man. And he gets into this, like, control center, and he puts in, you know, he accesses some files, and he clicks on one, and you see Harry wearing the Goblin mask come up, basically admitting to him that, oh yeah, and that whole thing about your parents, yeah, that was all me. See, I just wanted to fuck with you. And he's already dead. This had been done way in advance. Ah, that was just like, holy shit. I really, if I had to make my pick for Spider-Man runs, Demadius' run. Demadius and Buscema's run. That's it right there, man. Fuck Venom. Fuck Norman Osborn. This is it right here.
All right. Let's go to the opposite side of the coin, which is sort of our least favorite Spider-Man moments. I'm going to go ahead right off the bat, and I will say that I absolutely hated and still to this day hate, and I think according to Taser, it's actually still in continuity, to much of my discretion, the fact that it was Norman Osborn that slept with Gwen Stacy, impregnated her with super children. Because,
God.
Look, I like JMS. He's one of my favorite writers. He's one of the writers that made me start to pay attention to people behind the comics. But you don't fucking do that to Gwen Stacy.
That was such a bad idea.
Oh, my God. It's just, and the fact that he had twins and Gwen, the female, I can't remember her name. I can't remember either name, but I know the guy is still alive out there somewhere. So is the girl.
Yeah.
But the fact
that Iron Patriot for a while?
Yeah, that's where he was last. That's why Taser told me I thought he had been a race because of one more day.
No. So
it's still in continuity. God, I'm not a continuity person, but like, I wish that was, I'm just glad it's not mentioned every week.
Yeah, but it's still in continuity. Who was it that was telling me it's out of continuity? It doesn't count anymore. That was you.
It's not in my continuity.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. But no, like, and of course, I'm gonna go ahead and get this out of the way, but even bigger than that was the Clone Saga. The Spider-Man you've been following is not the real Spider-Man. This guy is a Spider-Man. See, he has a hoodie, and he's red. I think
that story could have been moderately successful if they didn't try to do that.
Yes. Clones can be creepy.
That was literally, I guess, also to pull a shark or shot himself in the chest.
Yes.
It also, no, you know what though? I like Ben Reilly. I like this costume. But I think, I agree with you. I think if they hadn't tried, well, he was the real, Ben Reilly's the real, you know, Peter Parker. and the one that we've known is, and I mean, come on, even before I had access to like news forums and whatever, I knew that was going to end up being
that
bullshit.
Was bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. But still, the fact that they tried it, it's like, yeah. Are you serious?
I wanted to say that Peter Parker wasn't real. At least pick a limited amount of time. Maybe say like the last 2 years worth of stories or something like that. Nope. Wasn't Peter. No, you wanted to say the entirety of it. It was a fucking clone.
Yeah. That's if we really pulled one over on you.
It was all a dream shit.
I would have really loved to have been in the meetings like, okay, here's the pitch. This isn't the real Spider-Man. Read the story. It goes on too long. It's way too convoluted. It gets bigger than it should have gotten.
But you know what kills me is that
Ben Reilly's
people
dead
continued to people continued to buy the fucking book. It was bad.
Came in right after that. Like I had to go back and read the Clone Saga.
They've collected all the Clone Saga in these huge ass trade paperbacks.
I don't see, that's the shit I don't get. You know, I mean, there's some things that are just like universally panned by fans in regards to particular runs.
I think it's because of Scarlet Spider fans, the hardcore ones, and that they're the ones who are buying it.
Yeah, but see, then that kind of tells you the people who are buying it, you know, and like myself with Green Lantern, you know, they just continue to get it because they were getting it, you know? I'm gonna stick with it and see how I'm gonna stick with it, you know? I can't fathom that. I really can't. It's like, how the fuck do you do that? You know, and Marvel, that shit ran for over a year. Over a year. And in all the titles, that's more than 5 books. Do you know how horrible it is to be subjected to a storyline that you just want to pull your hair out? And they stayed the course and followed it to its conclusion rather than capping it off and going, okay, you know what? We see sales went down. When sales go down, that's when you should start changing shit. No, well, they didn't go down enough.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped reading it.
Yeah. Yep. And I own all of it. Anyways, not due to me, but what about y'all guys? What are some worst Spider-Man moments?
That's easily up there with one. I'm gonna go ahead and say it because you know it's gotta come up. One More Day. One More Day is another case of you were doing okay until you did this one part. So like with the Clone Saga, you're doing all right until you told us that the clone was the real, what we thought was the clone was the real Peter and the real Peter's been the clone. You fucked up the second you made Peter Parker having deals with Satan. And wasting everything to save an old lady. You were doing great. I could have been okay with it. I would have been okay with you killing.
It was a nice and emotional story. What do you do?
Right, you
then
know.
Then Mephisto shows up.
And then, yeah, it's just, you know.
You know what though? Go ahead.
No, continue. Go ahead.
You know what? Having him deal with Mephisto like that is a nice way of kind of reminding people that yes, Spider-Man does actually live in the Marvel universe,
right?
You know, because that's not a character we really see him interact with, you know, at all. You know, I mean, maybe once or twice every 15 fucking
it's
years.
It's usually like his own shtick.
Yeah, exactly. So something like that, it's like, you know, Batman having been tossed back in time due to Darkseid's beams, you know, it's, oh, well, okay, you know.
This is a comic book.
He's in a larger universe.
That doesn't excuse
shitty writing. Exactly, you know. And, so, I mean, it's nice for a reminder, but, like, I agree that's, like, deal with the devil, really? Seriously?
Yeah, why was that fucking good? Yeah. I would have been okay, you know, you did all of this to save the life of a woman that you're not even doing anything with now and for purely selfish reasons. Cause it said at least twice that he's going through all of this because he does not want it to be because of something that was going on with him that Aunt May died for. That was it. You know, there was no grander over scheme. He did not want to be responsible for her death and went around trying to tour the globe looking to save her. And you're barely even doing anything with the character now. So fine. She married J. Jonah's dad. They moved to Boston and they moved back to New York. So what was the point of that again? You know, it's just so upsetting. And I wasn't all that attached to the marriage. You know, I didn't dislike it. I didn't think that it made Peter seem old or anything like that. Like if people get married, like, you know, there's nothing that can, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but you wanted to de-age him, fine. You wanted to break up the marriage, fine. But did you really have to go this route with it? Like, you used his marriage as a bargaining chip to save his aunt. You, there's so many other things, but everything else would have made him
they
seem...
They could have dissolved the marriage and keep Aunt May and not make the deal.
You know, or, right, you know, or just, the way I said, the way I felt it should have gone is that, you know, him being so distraught and everything like that with Aunt May and all of that, he starts pushing MJ away and then breaks it off. But no, that I guess maybe that was too adult for them or whatnot. So we had to use magic and Satan energy.
We don't have to explain it.
Yeah, exactly. I would have been totally okay with a rift forming in them and Peter so distraught about his aunt dying that he pushed everybody away, up to and including MJ, and she couldn't deal with it anymore and got fed up and said, fuck it, I'm leaving. All of that would have been just... fine. But no. And then we had to go and bring things back to the way that they were and make people younger and bring back web shooters and bring people back from the dead and all of that other shit that happened. So that was just, that's a bad one for me. One of the worst. Followed up with the quote unquote explanation that is omit.
Omit. Yeah. Basically he's saying everything still happened except for this one incident where it changed.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. I gotta be honest. I hate Joe Quesada. You know, I think changing Spider-Man's circumstances simply because he doesn't like it, I think that's fucked up and selfish. You know, there's no cause for it. I would like to hear or at least see some documentation where, oh, Spider-Man sales aren't as good as they used to be because the kids can't relate to a late 20s, early 30s guy who's married to a supermodel and has superpowers. Yeah, you know, I want to see that because unless I have that in front of me, then it's simply Joe Quesada didn't like Spider-Man being married.
Yep.
So, yeah, we have to fuck everything up. I'll admit I have no problems with them having the web shooters back because, quite frankly, organic web shooters were fucking stupid.
I'm okay with the organic ones back because they
I'm not. They didn't make sense costume-wise. How the fuck did they work?
Yeah, I'm fine with the web shooters being back, rather.
I mean, that was my thing. It didn't matter to me that they weren't there from day fuck, okay? But if you're going to run with a change, a somewhat of a fundamental change to the character, then, and it's a monthly, and he's in more than one book, then you can explain how this change works and make it work. They didn't bother to do that. All they did was, oh look, I can now shoot webbing from my wrist. I don't have to change my costume at all. And I can still somehow have the webbing go through the holes in my wrist, even though it doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's an insult, you know? That's like Black Bolt just waking up and deciding he needs to go home after having been dead. God, fuck you, anyway. And Quesada doing this, that's hubris. You know, I mean, that speaks of an insane amount of arrogance that you would make a change to a character like that I'm going to assume nobody really had any problems with and say that, yes, I think this is what's best for the character because fuck you. This isn't your character. You know, I don't give a good goddamn, you know, what your position is. You don't own it. You may work for the company. Yeah, you may have oversight on how certain things get done to various characters, but you don't own it. I don't own it, but I invest my money in it. So what the fuck are you making this kind of change for? Because you happen to think that, well, I think we can get more story out of him being single. Suck my dick, okay? Fuck you. I'm sorry, you know? JMS's whole thing with Gwen, that was like one of those, oh, I just got kicked in the nuts. What the hell's wrong? Oh, no. Why? But that doesn't bother me as bad as what Quesada did. Not at all. Venom, I'll be honest, I'm not a big Venom fan. I mean, I like what they're doing with Flash, even though I still need to go back and finish reading some of that stuff. But I wasn't a big Eddie Brock fan. Eddie Brock was a guy who just, you know, he just needed to get beat and tossed away somewhere, you know? And for whatever reason, because you had people who liked Twisted Darkness, you know, the anti, the other side of the hero, you know, they liked that stuff, and it was the 90s, and it was, I could not care less, you know? Venom never really, rather, Eddie Brock never did much for me. And then they liked him so much, they turned him into a hero.
Which is, and, well... In the 90s?
You know. Yeah.
Yeah, that was,
you know, he got his own book, and he was actually doing hero shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you're
going to
keep that iteration of Venom, he's not a fucking hero.
But, yeah, I have to say that the biggest and brightest example of the thing that I hate in regards to Spider-Man was the wipe. You know, the wipe and the reboot. You know, just to say that all of this shit that I read... You know, some of it happened and others didn't, or it happened a different way. And then to give me that bullshit where, well, the same way that Norman Osborn woke up on the slab and then replaced the body and nobody could tell because he paid the guy off.
Yep.
Well, because, Harry had died, well, the same thing happened to him. See, what he did was he had chameleon replaced the body, and then he went off to Europe, and he went through detox, and fuck you. You know? fuck you. God damn it. You know, these are not your characters. You know, these are characters that you borrow from the store, and you play with, and you tell tales to be bought and sold. You know, people invest in them. You know, these are not stories where you could tell whatever the fuck you want. No, it doesn't work like that. I'm not saying that you have to have everything fit and continuity and everything like that, because that's insane. But I don't want somebody who's just going to go all jiggledy fuck and tell whatever the hell kind of story he wants, because
stay true to the voice of the character.
Exactly.
Maintaining your own vision, but not straying too far from the past set beside
right.
by Stan Lee.
You know, I mean, everything has to come back to zero, but you can go out a bit. But I mean, once you, he went from, most writers I say would go from, let's say, DC to West Virginia. He went from DC to fucking Greenland, you know, and then stretched up to the North Pole. Yeah. Amanda, in regards to how he took the character.
Okay.
You know, I just, yeah, Quesada's, you know, act. I'm calling it the act. That was the biggest, you know, thing that I hated. And I haven't liked a lot with Spider-Man. There's just quite a few things I don't like, but that is the biggest thing that I hate about Spider-Man.
All right. Well, let's turn this around, and I guess we're going to start wrapping this up. But favorite Spider-Man team-ups. Like, who do we like seeing Spider-Man, or some of the ones I remember? And it's not a superhero that I like seeing Spider-Man team up with, but my favorite person he always comes across with is Black Cat.
Yeah.
I fucking love... when it's done right, the sexual tension that's going between both of them, because they both want each other, is so fucking either hysterical or just a great read. I just love when those two get together. And sadly, she kind of went away when she was with MJ alone, so I love it whenever she teams up with Black Cat. As Mario runs along in the background. I also like his team-ups with Captain America. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's like that whole young hero looking up to the veteran. And idolizing him.
Yeah, his ego's total fanboy.
Around. Yeah, you know? I mean, who, like, honestly, if it's Captain America, wouldn't you? I wish he would team up with the Hulk more, if the Hulk was, like Mr. Fix-It Hulk or something, or Smarter Hulk. I don't know why I'd like to see those two work in combination together. I want to see him team up with fucking Ms. Marvel more. I want her, you know.
We won't want her.
I want her to, I want Peter Parker and Ms. Marvel to team up more together. Yeah, but Black Cat is easily my favorite though. What about y'all's?
Fantastic Four and more so Johnny.
Those are great.
They're always entertaining. Him and Wolverine is funny because just how much they can't stand each other.
it's sort of like the Batman Superman relationship of Marvel.
Yeah. Well, no, but I don't know. I don't want to say that Batman and Superman can't stand each other.
Like, well, and the fact that they're two Wolverine different people who don't get along,
like, really cannot fucking stand Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Like, you know, that's like the, at least that's what I get from Wolverine. But watching the two of them interact is always funny. They always have some great banter. Who else? I was thinking of somebody else before and I lost it. But I agree with you with Black Cat. That's always fun. I like Black Cat, in general. I'm sure there's someone
love Felicia Hardy. Jason, you got any favorite team ups?
You know, one of the ones that actually, that jump out at me, Spider-Man and Dominic Fortune.
Really?
Yeah, Spider-Man and Dominic Fortune was actually a good Marvel team up. Especially when you come to find out that, the guy that he was with was the original Dominic Fortune actually shows up, and it was like one of those, oh, I mean, it had that spy thing going on, you know, that Spider-Man thought he knew what was going on, and, you know, come to find out he had no fucking clue. There was a lot there. That one stands out. There was the first, well, at least my first exposure to Paladin was actually a Spider-Man and Paladin team up. And I gotta say, Spider-Man and Thing. Spider-Man and Thing,
yes,
I think it was twice I've read them teamed up in it. One in Marvel team, the other one was, I believe they did a Marvel 2-in-1 because that was Thing's book, but I don't think I read that one. I think it was, might have been in an FF and it was just Spider-Man and Thing. That was always fun. I mean, Spider-Man and Johnny is usually a lot of fun, but yeah. I enjoyed Spidey and Thing more. You know, that was a lot of fun to me. Let's see. Nothing else comes to mind. I actually hadn't thought of those in years. Oh my god. Oh, and I think there was a Marvel team up. It was Spider-Man and Devil Slayer. I believe Devil Slayer was another one. And I think the guy he had didn't he have that cape that he could like teleport into? If I remember correctly.
I have no idea what you're
talking about. Yeah, it was a Marvel character. He was, see, again, I haven't thought about these books in years, but, I mean, Marvel team up was fun. You know, I mean, again, Spider-Man taking part in the larger Marvel universe, you know, right. back when, it was organic like that and it wasn't forced, you know, you had more fun. Everything wasn't dark and gritty, you know. I miss that stuff, you know. The books during that time were better reads. They were more solid. Now everything's got to kind of look a certain way, behave a certain way. Damn it. Books got complicated. And I didn't care about the writers. You know, I'll say that I have no idea who wrote any of that. I just remember the story. Well, I remember who was in the story. I'll put it that way. But, yeah, I missed that. Marvel Team Up was a fun book. Dominic Fortune, I can't even remember the story properly, but I remember him, you know, brown vest, you know, black sleeves and pants, had a gun. Ah, I had fun. Yeah, that was a good book.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Favorite Spider-Man villain. Number one, just one, not all of them, just one. Arnold. I think I know who it is.
Favoritist. That's a good
one. T-Man, do you have one?
Yeah. Sandman.
Nice.
and because he gave a real good shot at trying to go legit.
He was an Avenger.
I had stopped at that point, but remember.
Well, legitimacy, that's pretty as legit as you can get.
No, you're right. I hadn't been reading it. I wasn't reading Marvel then, but I remember when, what's his name? Not King Marco. Oh damn, I forgot his name.
Sandman's name?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name either.
Okay, well whatever. I remember when Sandman.
Flint
Marco, thank you.
Is he related to Kane?
No.
We have to find that out.
That would
it's
be
just coincidence.
Yeah, that would be real funny. But I remember Flint Marco in the books was doing his, he was making a real solid effort to going straight. You know, every other Spider villain was just rehashing and, you know, re-updating and this, that. No, he was tired of that. You know, and he wanted to not be hunted, not have to look over his shoulder. He wanted to be done with all that and on top of it make up for the shit that he had done. You know, character redemption, that always works with me. And it worked with him, and it pisses me off that they dialed him back to being a villain.
Alexei Sitsevich, anybody? Mr. Rhino? No?
Is he your favorite?
He's my favorite personally, yeah, especially with the tragedy they put him through. Again, with Taser, I'm a big fan of the whole redemption, and then ultimately they fall back into it. But, you know, to see, not even just that he was going legit, but he was legitimately just happy, and he was just living his life.
He was done.
He didn't ask for any of it, but it all came back into his life, and it took everything he loved away, and it just came crashing down.
Sometimes how usually goes, you get away from your demons, but sometimes
they come back.
They come back and they hurt you even more.
You know what was worse about that? When the guy encountered him, he told him straight up, look, I don't want to be Rhino anymore. You want to be the Rhino? Fine. Have the name. Leave me alone. I'm going to go over here and do my thing. I'll be quiet. I won't come after you. And the guy was like, no, I have to take it. You know, and I'm going to force you to give it to me, which carries a certain undertone I won't mention. But he would not let the man go. I mean, peacefully, he wouldn't let him go. And then when you had that head on that he caught the bad end of it, he was like, no, this can't end like this. No, you can't do that to me, Spider-Man. Spider-Man, you got to save me. He cried like a bitch, you know? And I got to say, I have to say this. Spider-Man did his damnedest to try to turn Rhino away. He did his damnedest to help Rhino get out of the city. He did his damnedest to try to convince Rhino, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't crush his throat, don't do it. And I fully, thoroughly agree with Rhino. Fuck him. I've not a fucking problem in the world. That man killed the love of his life. Fuck him. I would have walked to jail. I'd have been like, yeah, do what you're going to do. I did what I had to do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. But I love that bit of Rhino, you know, Rhino trying to go straight. I love that. But, yeah, Flint Marko going straight. He's my favorite Spider-Villain.
Mine's is Electro. I just love his design. Nothing about him personally really speaks to me. Outside of, you know, when they revamped him 2-3 years ago. But I just love that just crazy outlandish with the electrical bolts as his mask and the green. You don't really see a lot of green with characters. It's usually a lot of reds.
In Spider-Man you do.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, just general, you don't see a lot of green. And I just love electrical based powers. I've been playing Infamous like crazy, so.
Static Shock, Black Lightning.
I like those guys.
No, I'm just adding to counting Lightning Lad and Last and Lightning Lord.
All the Legion Superheroes, they don't count.
They're getting their shit canceled, bitch.
Johnny Thunder. For the umpteenth time, that's nothing new.
Yeah, I personally just love Electro, just from his sheer design. Sheer design alone. I just love that.
Living Lightning. Living Lightning. And he was Arasa too.
Yes. Because I relate to everything that's Mexican.
We know. That's why we have you on the show.
Yep. Arnold, do you have a favorite Spider-Man villain to wrap this all up?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Normie, Green Goblin, man. He's a stable Norman Osborn. It's just a great villain, just on a mental level, even not only aside from the fact that he's batshit crazy, but that's not enough to stop people from making him the big wig in the Marvel Universe. That's an argument for another day, right, Taser? But yeah, I've always liked Green Goblin, been a big fan. I have to say, one of my most favorite iterations of him was from the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon. Steve Blum got him perfectly.
That was Steve Blum?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Holy shit, that guy's
Wait,
everywhere.
Spectacular Spider-Man?
Yeah.
That was Ron Perlman.
Doing.
That was Ron Perlman?
That was Ron Perlman doing Norman Osborn. At least, I'm... Yeah, I'm almost 100% sure.
Spider-Man movie.
I don't think that's true.
I'll double check it, but I'm almost certain it's Ron Perlman, but it could be Steve Blum.
Is it because of the psychotic craziness that is Norman and how he's horribly fucked up Peter's life?
Yeah, and he's a nutso, but at the same time, he's really, really smart. And, you know, he, on a intellect level, in terms of villains, aside from Doc Ock, he's on par with, you know, with Peter. You know, he can go toe-to-toe in terms of fighting and in terms of brain power. And I don't know. He's a fun character. I don't want to reference him too much to the Joker or say that he's Marvel Joker.
He's not that scary.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, and Brian, you are correct. Norman Osborn was voiced by somebody else, was Alan Ratchins, but the Green Goblin was voiced by Steve Blum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's right, it was a different voice altogether.
Yeah, they just switched the voice completely instead of doing, you know, having one.
That's actually smart. Portrays two different personalities.
So amazing.
For that character, yeah, and Steve Blum, he gets the craziness, the jokes, and the things that the Goblin would throw out, you know, get all of that. It was just a lot of fun. Like, easily one of my favorites.
It kind of helps that Steve Blum tends to voice characters who are a bit off anyway.
He might be
or off or skewed in the fucking head, but he does them so well.
Yep. All right, so there we go. That's going to wrap up our 50th anniversary episode for The Amazing Spider-Man. Tell us what your favorite Spider-Man moments are. Who's your favorite villain? What's your favorite storyline? What's your favorite team-up? Let us know what you think. Spread the word. We all legitimately, in some way, except for Brian, because he's a heartless bastard, care about Spider-Man, like Spider-Man. But let us know how much you care about Spider-Man.
Hey, that's mostly accurate. I don't know why I'm arguing with you.
But yeah, let us know how you feel about the Spider-Man. And of course, just look on right on the, whatever your podcast subscribe related is. Our regular episode is going to be right above this one. Check it out for both of them. Until then, y'all have a safe trip. Hope it gets cold.
May the webbing protect you.